Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the hypothetical question, what if Joe Biden wins the presidency? What if he wins the race after all is counted and all is done, after all the ballots are in? And by the way, I don't think we'll know on November the 3rd, regardless of how long we sit up at night. I don't think we'll know who won the election. I think it will be days, weeks, if not even going into a month or more before that is determined, the ballots, because several of the states have already won the right through the Supreme Court. Pennsylvania, for example, can count ballots up to, it's either 3 or 6 days after the election. It's like saying I'm going to a horse race and we'll watch the race and we'll see who's crossing the finish line, but we'll wait until 3, 4, 5, 6 days later for the judges to determine and tell us who they think won the election based on what they're doing. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about if Joe Biden wins the election, we're in trouble. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you already voted, let me ask you to call in. You can just leave your name. You don't have to leave your last name or contact information, but just simply, I'm Joe, Susie, Charlie, or John, and this is how I voted. I'd love to hear from you. How did you vote? Why did you vote in the way you did? What does this election mean to you? Are you serious? Are you serious about this election? Are you serious enough to go out and vote even if it's raining, even if it's cold, if you never have to wait in line for several hours? How do you stand on that issue? I believe that as Christians, we need to recognize that if we're going to be salt and light in society, which God's called us to be, we need to recognize our responsibility. I'm thankful to see pastors that are finally growing a spine, coming out of the closet, coming out from under the bed and taking a stand and saying to the government, we're not going to keep our churches closed. Ladies and gentlemen, the churches across America should have never been closed. But listen very carefully. If Joe Biden is elected president at the whim of Biden, he's already said that he will do a complete nationwide lockdown. He will close the churches and put in a official federal mask mandate if he's elected as president based on what the science tell him. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, if Joe Biden is elected president, he will not be the president at all. Those men in white jackets, Dr. Fauci, Anthony Fauci, Dr. Birx, Dr. Tedros of the World Health Organization, and other fake, phony scientists that taken directions from Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they will make the decision on whether or not the economy shut down, whether or not hundreds of thousands of businesses go bankrupt. They will make the decision whether or not millions of people be out of work, and not Joe Biden. Joe Biden is putting it on the basis that he's going to do what scientists say. He is alluding to the fact that somehow, some way, President Trump has done something wrong and that President Trump has caused these deaths. In fact, it's Kamala Harris. It is Joe Biden in their ads on television nationwide that's blaming President Trump for the number of deaths from the coronavirus, as though somehow, some way, in fact, one of the politicians called it the Trump virus. I believe it was the governor of Michigan, Whitmire, said it was the Trump virus. And as a result of that, if you want the virus to stop, if you want the people to be able to go back to work, you need to put Joe Biden in office. Ladies and gentlemen, that's antithetical to the truth. That's an absolute bald-faced lie, if I can say that boldly. That's not the case at all. Nothing that President Trump has done that's caused any exacerbation of the virus. He's done everything humanly possible to protect it, to, number one, prevent it, number two, protect the people as a result of it. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, if Joe Biden is elected president, if he wins the race. Here's an article that says, Biden advocates for gender change for children as young as 8 years old. Yeah, you heard that right. Wasn't a slip of the tongue. Responding to a mother of a transgender daughter at the ABC News town hall Thursday night, Joe Biden vowed to eliminate by executive orders that any executive orders that discriminate against transgendered people and promised to make it possible for young children to change their gender. He says, I will flat out, Joe Biden's words now, ladies and gentlemen, listen, if you're a moral, ethical person, if you believe that morals and ethics and values should be dominant in society. I'm not saying if you're a Christian. That's number one. That's understood. But if you're just a patriotic American and you have any level of morals and ethics and values, this should cause you to absolutely look at with great horror the potentiality of Joe Biden being elected president. He says, I will flat out just change the law, eliminate any executive orders Number one, the Democratic presidential nominee said, number one is what I'll do, Joe Biden said. Quote, the idea that an 8-year-old child, this is answering the question, that an 8-year-old child or a 10-year-old child, 10-year-old that size, you know, I decided I want to be transgendered. That's what I think I want to be. Make my life a lot easier, better. That should be zero discrimination, Biden stated. Ladies and gentlemen, he says if it's an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old that says, I'm a girl, but I want to be a boy. I'm a boy, but I want to be a girl. He said that should be their choice and they should be able to. Ladies and gentlemen, that takes away the responsibility of every parent in America of having the right, biblically the right, to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart it from it. Proverbs 22:6 tells us. The Bible tells us for parents, if you spank him, he will be changed. If you spank him, it will remove that hostility and anger. The Bible, yes, gives the parents the right to discipline a child. And it tells us that if we don't spank that child, if we don't discipline that child will grow up to hate us and to be revengeful and rejection of anything that's called spirituality or godly. Here's Joe Biden saying that it will be from his governmental perspective as the president of the United States, if he's elected president, that he will make it all right for any child to go in and without parental consent be able to have transgendered surgery. Ladies and gentlemen, that's horrifying. That is almost revolting to even consider to think about. But that's the position that Joe Biden is taking in relationship to what he will do as president. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it is the courageous Christian. It is for you and for me as believers to take a stand and say no, that we might vote for the legacy of America to maintain our constitutional republic. Here's an article that says, are there enough courageous Christians to save America? It's an ominous headline. Are there enough courageous Christians to save America? This article reads, it's dated October the 20th of 2020. Deaths from the China virus number more than 1 million worldwide. Deaths from abortion worldwide is 1 billion. Interestingly, the China virus problem has been used in many states to shut down churches and to keep abortion clinics open as essential businesses. In effect, the China virus serves as a cover for mass murder and Christian persecution, end quote. The article further says, in regard to abortion, which has claimed 63 million lives in America since Roe versus Wade, the comparison with the China virus is made not to minimize the suffering of the and the lives lost by one evil or another. Rather, the comparison is designed to highlight how the threat of the China virus has diverted our attention from what Thomas W. Jacobson said, executive director of the Global Life Campaign, he called the greatest genocide in history, speaking of abortion. Many Christian leaders are reluctant to talk about abortion, he said, but it is the number one cause of death in the United States and worldwide. It is the great tragedy that more than 1 million people have died worldwide from the coronavirus pandemic. But it is also a great tragedy that 1 million babies are aborted every month. 1 million babies are aborted every month. Ladies and gentlemen, which is the most horrific? Murder by way of abortion. And we find in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13, thou shalt not kill. And so if nothing else that I could speak on today, if I didn't have any other thing in the repertoire of conversation about the dangers of Joe Biden, would be that he is would do everything that's antithetical to the word of God. He will absolutely disobey God's command, thou shalt not kill. And that is being pushed today as a major, major point in trying to determine whether or not Judge Barrett should be confirmed as the Supreme Court justice, because she stands for life in the womb. As I call it, life from the womb to the tomb ought to be the mindset and the attitude of every Christian today, ladies and gentlemen. It was sad to see and be heard from the lips of those in the Democratic Party that is a push for them in relationship to judges. Jim Caviezel, the one that was the actor in The Passion of the Christ, Jim Caviezel warns, quote, massive, massive persecutions of Christians is coming. Actor Jim Caviezel says that if Christians want their religion to endure for future generations, they will have to fight for it. Quote, "No one has ever rode to victory on the back of fake moral platitudes. We have to speak the truth boldly," Caviezel says. Jim Caviezel has said, "It's essential for Christians to pay attention to these troubling acts of persecution and take action immediately." Caviezel, who played Jesus in the 2004 movie, The Passion of the Christ, told LifeSite News that changes are taking place and none of them are good. End quote. Quote, "You'll wish that you never even knew what democracy was. This Christian way of living will soon be gone," said Caviezel, according to LifeSite. Quote, "We're talking about massive, massive Christian persecution on the horizon." Now, I don't know how it could be stated any more clearly and succinctly than that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing a little touch of what Joe Biden will do on a national level through the lack of morals, the lack of ethics, the lack of values in the governor of Virginia. I believe the Virginia governor ought to be removed by the people of the state of Virginia by vote to remove him. He is the most unethical, immoral, ungodly, unholy governor that I believe, other than the one on the left coast, which is Governor Gavin Newsom in California, the Governor Cuomo of New York. You can take those three and together, I don't know if you could find the one that would be the more evil. But here's an article that says Christians, churches and Christian schools and pro-life ministries standing up to Virginia's alarming new law. The law that's recently been passed in the state of Virginia makes it illegal for Christian organizations, Christian churches, to take a stand for moral, ethical values based on the biblical text. This article says today, Alliance Defending Freedom filed a lawsuit challenging a new Virginia law on behalf of Calvary Baptist Church and Community Fellowship Church and Community Christian Academy and CareNet. July the 1st, Virginia added sexual orientation and gender identity language to an existing state law. This change to the law poses severe threats to churches, Christians, Christian schools, all religious ministries that operate consistently with their belief on marriage and human sexuality. Under the law, these ministries face a choice, abortion or abandon, that is, abandon their biblical beliefs or face investigation, lawsuits, persecution, and prosecution and fines up to $100,000 per violation. Unlimited legal fees and court orders face forcing them to violate their convictions. Ladies and gentlemen, it is on the horizon on a national level if Joe Biden is elected president. I don't know how I can say it any more succinctly. We need to understand what a Joe Biden administration will do. It will destroy our First Amendment right, the religious liberties and freedom. It will destroy our Second Amendment right. Kamala Harris has already said, if elected and you don't surrender your guns, I'll sign an executive order and the police will show up at your door to confiscate your guns, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the dangers of a Joe Biden administration. Joe Biden's administration, if he goes into office, here's an article that says his economic policy will kill 2 million jobs overnight. With the $15 minimum wage that he's proposing as a federal minimum wage, it will close several hundred thousand businesses. It will cause about 2 million people to be out of work because most small businesses, most mom-and-pop businesses, as well as small churches and ministry organizations, cannot afford to pay that. They will cut back the number of employees or they will shut down completely. And that's on the horizon. Joe Biden is going to install, enact everything that Bernie Sanders says he wanted in the Green New Deal. That will mean no more fracking, no more high production of oil and natural gas. That will mean at the gas pump we'll pay $3, $4, $5, $6 a gallon for gas. That means we will pay millions of dollars more in our power utility bills each year as a result of that, absolutely bankrupting small business and homeowners. In fact, he was talking about canceling all of the President Trump's tax laws. If he does that, the average homeowner, the average worker, will lose some $2,500 to $3,800, according to ones running the statistics on that. Joe Biden will enforce a mask mandate across America with a countdown, a clock set for locking down all of America at the whims and the wishes of what will be done. That mask mandate might not sound horrific, but listen, ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says a mother and a two-year-old son were booted from Southwest Airlines after the toddler ate snacks without a mask on. Did you hear that? The toddler, 2 year old, was eating a snack on the plane without a mask on. How do you eat with a mask on? Gavin Newsom has said in California, you need to take the mask away from your face, put your food in, put your mask back down, and then chew. Get the chewing, open your, pull your mask up, put food in again, et cetera, et cetera. This article says Southwest Airlines flight attendant allegedly kicked a single mother and her two-year-old son off the flight recently after the toddler ate snacks before takeoff without wearing a mask. Jody is the mother, 34 years old, and had her son, Hayes, were traveling back to home to Chicago from Fort Myers, Florida, after visiting the family when their trip was canceled due to the maskless snacking, according to the press reports. The plane had already left the gate and was taxiing to the runway when it abruptly ordered it to turn around. Jody had removed her son's mask so the toddler could eat and have enjoy the snack that had been served. When the flight attendants confronted her on multiple occasions, she told them that her son would be wearing the mask in full flight, but was currently eating. The plane then turned around, and she was demanded to leave. A couple of minutes later, we pulled back into the gate, she said, and the plane, accompanied by the manager, the supervisor, the flight attendant, and the pilot, escorted her off the plane. Ladies and gentlemen, if that sounds horrific, it is, because it's infringing on our rights as citizens. We are not sheeple. We're people. And we, the people, have a right to protect our own health when we decide it is necessary. One of the most horrific things, I think, that could happen in America is where, as a result of a China virus that was perpetrated on America, not by accident, in my opinion, but on a purposeful mission to destroy nations around China and give China providence and prevailing over all of the other nations, they released it. But ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, we've made people sheeple rather than people, and we are causing the masquerade, as I call it, even here in our city, where the mayor keeps increasing 30 days at a time of the masquerade. I want to know when the masquerade is going to end, when we will again be viewed as free citizens, not forced to wear masks. In fact, it's governor of Michigan that has made a horrific statement, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the article. Governor Gretchen Whitmer said, if you're tired of lockdowns, if you're tired of wearing masks, if you wish you were in church on Sunday morning rather than watching the sports games, then vote for Joe Biden. Michigan Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer said that if Americans were weary with coronavirus lockdowns and the fallout from the socioeconomic restrictions related to the pandemic, they should vote for Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden on Election Day instead of President Donald Trump. Quote, if you're tired of lockdowns, if you're tired of wearing masks, if you wish you could be in church on Sunday morning or watching college football or with your kids or in person instructions, it is time for change in this country. And that's what we've got. That's why we've got to elect Joe Biden, Whitmer told Chuck Todd on Meet the Press last Sunday. Wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen. If Joe Biden is elected president, is he going to magically somehow lift the lockdown? Is he going to magically somehow stop wearing a mask? Is he simply going to magically say everybody can go back to church? Is he going to magically say everything is going to be all right? Ladies and gentlemen, that smells like a lie to me. And that's deceptive. It's making people think that, oh, you're tired of this lockdown. You're tired of the mask. You're tired of the church being closed. We can magically elect Joe Biden and he's going to change it. No, he will exacerbate the problem. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. The telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917 is the telephone number for you to ask your question, jump into the dialogue and discussion. We're going to talk about some of these other things that's on our ballot. In the state of Florida, ladies and gentlemen, we have six amendments that's on the ballot. Six amendments are going to have to make a decision on when you go into the ballot box and vote. I want to quickly cover these for our edification, for our understanding. The two or three of them that's very egregious. Amendment number 3, for example, changes the election laws in the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, in the state of Florida, we have now the primary where you can have the Democratic primary and the Republican primary. They're separate primaries where if you're looking at the Republican ticket, you can make a decision on which candidates. But if Amendment 3 goes into effect, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm against all of the amendments because I'm tired of seeing our Constitution in the state of Florida become Swiss cheese. We have amended the state of Florida Constitution some 127 times since 1974. We've amended our U.S. Constitution only 27 times since its inception. I find it egregious that we find power brokers with deep pockets that wants to amend the Constitution rather than going through the legislative process, when as America we have a constitutional republic with a representative form of government. If you want a law changed, you have a bill introduced in the House and the Senate. It is debated in committee. It is coming out of committee, then going to the floor. It's voted on, and if it passes by a vote that is in the positive, then it goes to the governor to sign, then it becomes law. But, ladies and gentlemen, people are wanting to circumvent that legal process today, the representative form, and they want to change it. Central to this issue in Amendment 3 is to have the unitary primary where both Republicans and Democrats can vote together in the primary. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. If that passes, if you vote yes on that amendment, and if it passes in the state of Florida, that means that they can, at a unitary primary, that you can take a weak Republican candidate, and he will be overwhelmingly approved in the primary by the Democratic votes in order to have a weak Republican facing off against a strong Democrat that will guarantee the Democrat to win the election in the general election. This, number one, ladies and gentlemen, let me say this on this particular amendment. I say no on Amendment 3 totally. If it's approved by 60% of voters in the 2020 general election, the top two open primary system would be used beginning in 2024, according to this. A total of about $6.3 million has been spent on gathering the petitions in order to get this on the ballot for November the 3rd. And out of that, a man by the name of Miguel, that is Mike Fernandez, the founder of the Immigration Partnership and Coalition Fund, is the largest single donor. All of the votes, voters vote, he's given $5.9 million in support of Amendment 3. He's deep, has a deep pocket, but ladies and gentlemen, he's an open borders man. He's one that wants to see illegal immigrants be able to vote. He's the one that wants to see the Democratic leadership prevail in any of the elections. So I say no on Amendment 3. I'm putting that at the top of the agenda because it's perhaps the one that's the more egregious than any of the others. Some of the others are kind of sounds a little bit like it might be okay, but there's a major problem with all of them. Ladies and gentlemen, number one, Amendment number one says the section currently states that every citizen of the United States who is at least 18 years old or older is permanent resident state. If registered, provided by law, he can vote. Amendment one would change the word every to only. And ladies and gentlemen, that sounds palatable, but listen very carefully. When do we stop amending our Constitution? When do we stop making the Constitution the way that we legalize things in America rather than through the representative form of government? I'm against the changing of our Constitution. It now has become almost like the old Sears and Roebuck catalog used to look like when it was in vogue. But ladies and gentlemen, it is simply egregious to think about continuing to change our Constitution. The Second Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, is raising the Florida minimum wage. If we to $15 an hour, that is what Joe Biden is wanting to do. That is what Bernie Sanders said he would do if he's elected president. And now here we are with it on the ballot for the state of Florida. And it might look good. If you're making $5 an hour, $10 an hour, $12 an hour, you say, gee whiz, the government's looking out for me. They want me to have $15 an hour. Ladies and gentlemen, don't fool yourself. It'll put you in a higher tax bracket. You'll pay more in taxes, number one. Number two, every product and service that you buy will have to be increased because of the increase of production cost. A loaf of bread will have to go up. A gallon of gas will have to go up. The products that you buy at the grocery store will have to go up because everybody that's working there is getting a minimum of $15 an hour. But the most egregious thing is, ladies and gentlemen, it would put millions of people out of work in the state of Florida, literally millions. Because businesses simply cannot afford to operate and pay $15 an hour. I'm of the opinion, this has always been my opinion on minimum wage, there ought to be no minimum wage whatsoever. It ought to be based on supply and demand. If you have the skills that demand the higher pay, the companies, the organizations that you work for are going to see that. There's going to be enough competition out there that will force them to pay you the higher wage in order to keep your skills and talents on their payroll. And we ought not to have this where it's going to be forced on the general public by an amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, if it's ever put on the Constitution as an amendment, it'll never come off. It'll never come off. And I've always said, ladies and gentlemen, don't stop at $15 an hour. If you think there's need for $15, do $25, do $50. When do you stop? When do you stop making a decision on what someone needs to make? How are you going to buy a hamburger at McDonald's or at Burger King if there's a $15 an hour laborer behind the counter there? Are we going to pay $10 for a Burger King or for a Big Mac? Is that what you want? I say no on Amendment 2, which is arbitrarily and capriciously put into place to put in a $15 an hour minimum wage. It ought not to be so, ladies and gentlemen. We ought not to have to make a decision on things of that nature. Ladies and gentlemen, Amendment number 3 says all voters vote in primary elections for the state legislature, governor, and cabinet. It is one that is another one of the egregious amendments that I think we need to look at very carefully and understand what it will do and what it will not do so that we will vote appropriately. This article says it would open Florida's closed primary election to the state legislators, governors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We talked about Amendment 3 as being that one which will be in the unitary election, and it ought not to be at all, ladies and gentlemen. So I'd hate no. In fact, when you look at your ballot and you look down all 6 of the amendments, my recommendation is say no, 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 no. John, I believe you're on hold. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yeah, good job. You just convinced me to vote no on all of them. I was actually thinking of voting yes on the one about the 18-year-old voting. It sounded good, but you're right. You should go through the legislative process and not leave it up to the people to do this. I agree with you. And also, everybody should vote for Trump, okay? A vote
Amen.
For Biden is a vote for the destruction of America, and you got a reprobate
yes.
mind if you vote for him. That's the way I see it. So thanks a lot for what you do, and I'm going to vote no on all of them.
Amen. Thank you, John, for your call. Thank you for your insight on that and for your encouragement for our other listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to stop amending our Constitution. If we can live with a federal constitution that's been amended 27 times since its inception, why can't we live with a state constitution without having to circumvent the representative form of government and going around it by amending the constitution every time we want something that cannot be done legislatively? Ladies and gentlemen, I am of the opinion that we need to pray, seek God's face, and ask for his wisdom. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, Brother Davis.
God bless you.
Very briefly. You know, I'm thankful for everything that you have said on the air today. But a big part of the problem, I think, Dr. Youngblood, is that the Christians have sat down and let the unrighteous people take these positions in government. They are actually seated in places to where they can make rules and laws that actually hurt us. So we're kind of partial to blame for this, that we sat down and have
That's
given
right.
them leeway to be able to get in the position to make things that will work against us.
Well, Brother Davis, let me jump in. We've got about 45 seconds on the broadcast. Let me add to what you said. You're exactly 100% right. For too many years, in fact, I say for about 50 years, pastors from the pulpit have warned the people that politics are dirty, politics are bad, Christians are just out of politics, we ought not to talk about politics from the pulpit, and that's simply horse feathers. It's simply not real. Christians need to be salt and light. That means we get out of the shaker, we get out of the closet, and we in society, we permeate society with that salt and light. Brother Davis, you're exactly right, and for Christians, every Christian that's listening, we need to vote, we need to stand up, we need to speak up, we need to be heard, we need to be seen. We ought not to be relegated as dregs of society, as Joe Biden calls us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on the air today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1/2 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also, tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 and on Sunday mornings at 8 on 100.3 FM. For expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety at 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. Tune in and invite others to listen.